It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, along with Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, Dana Perino, and Brian Kilmeade. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5.
There's an old expression in a little town in Delaware called Claymont, Delaware, a little steel town. And they say, we're like poor relatives. We show up when we're invited and we stay longer than we should. So be careful. We may not go back.
President Biden may not be joking about staying overseas, given the utter disaster he's created here at home. A whopping 85% of the country says America is on the wrong track. And that includes 78% of Democrats. Apparently, President Biden is irritated by a lack of party enthusiasm when it comes to a potential second term for him. The New York Times reporting the president is, quote, irked by Democrats who won't take yes for an answer on 2024. The Times adding, quote, the president and his top aides have been stung by the questions about his plans, irritated at what they see as a lack of respect from their party and the press. But despite all the odds, Kamala Harris is trying to instill confidence in the sinking ship.
Joe Biden is running for re-election, and I will be his ticket mate. Full stop. Full stop. That's it.
And as the Democrats panic over their flailing 2024 prospects, the media thinks Hillary Clinton will be the one to bail them out. CNN has begun their push for two-time presidential loser to make another run at the White House. And Gayle King is practically begging Hillary to do it.
There's no scenario in 2024 that you would even remotely consider.
I can't imagine it. I really can't. But what I can imagine is staying as active and outspoken as I can.
She can't imagine it, Jesse. Yeah. She just can't. The two-time loser wants to go for it a third time.
So this Operation Joe Musco has really picked up after the bike fiasco. People who are on the fence are now definitely starting to throw the guy a retirement party. But you're throwing someone a retirement party and he doesn't want to retire. It's like, Joe, we're going to have some balloons. What kind of cake do you want? And Joe's like, I'm not retiring. I don't want cake. Oh, you're going to have the vanilla. You're going to love it. And he's out. So it's more of a media coup than a Democratic Party coup, because you look at these questions. Dana Bash is asking who's running. Gayle King is asking. Stephen Colbert is asking AOC, are you doing this? They're doing it right in front of Joe's face because he's bad for business. The ratings are down. He's no fun to cover. I mean, you used to go to Martha's Vineyard. You used to go to Hawaii or Mar-a-Lago. What, do you go to Delaware now to cover Joe Biden? No one wants to do that. Or West Texas.
All right.
They loved covering Barack Obama. They loved covering Bill Clinton because those were young, charismatic guys that took the fight to Republicans day after day. Joe Biden doesn't lay any wood on the Republicans. He's fighting Putin harder than he's fighting the Republican Party. And to the media, Republicans are the enemy and they need to be attacked 24/7. The media cannot stomach putting out poll after poll that shows their guy, who they dragged over the finish line, at 38%. You can see them getting physically ill on the air. And talk about the parent companies, AT&T, Comcast. They're looking at the market every single day. They've lost, 20%? Their stock prices are down. And now the donors aren't happy either, so this thing's almost done. Now the media has basically started the primary. The primary's begun. And now the primary is anybody but Bernie Sanders, because the media hates Bernie Sanders and half the Democratic Party hates him. So they're road testing AOC and Mayor Pete and Kamala. But everybody knows it's going to be a flop. So the only shot they have is to indict Donald Trump.
All right, Brian, I want you to take a listen to this sound of Stephen Colbert sucking up to AOC.
I know somebody who's going to turn 35 about a month before the election in 2024. And they represent New York's 14th. Is that job appealing to you at all?
I think that
theoretically.
Listen, I think that we need to focus on keeping a democracy.
So it's possible. So it's possible.
I don't know about that.
Go ahead, Brian.
Really? I mean, to me, she's the king. She's the queen of queens. That's about it. That's it in her district. And to resonate nationally is a bridge too far. And I would add this. The worst thing President Biden did is have Ron Klain, or it was on volition, give so much credit to the squad. Because he cares more about what the squad thinks than anything else. So whatever his instincts are, it's been swamped by what the squad thinks. So he'll never be in the middle. And what the squad thinks is really answering to a small swath of America, should have no shot in the general. What I think is interesting is from David Axelrod to James Clyburn, they're already talking about, in theory, what if Joe doesn't run again? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter his age, doesn't matter him falling off a bike, if his results were better, if the economy was humming, if babies could actually eat, have formula three times a day, if we didn't leave Afghanistan the way we did, if he wasn't over in the G7 reacting instead of leading the way we're seeing right now. I don't think the age, the gray hair, the moving slow, the gait would even matter. And I look back, I'm just writing this down now. So Ronald Reagan's up in age, younger than Joe Biden, but the people around him were so good. Jim Baker, don't have to worry about it. You know, he's got the thing under control. The Secretary of State is George Shultz. Donald Regan, even though he clashed with the First Lady, extremely competent. Vice President of the United States is George H.W. Bush, 41. He put credible people around him. And even though that Ronald Reagan maybe was in slowing down a little, let historians decide, the people around him were so strong. The people around this president are not strong. Gavin Newsom taking out ads in Florida is noteworthy. Gavin Newsom hopping on Truth Social is noteworthy. I think Governor Pritzker doing everything to look dominant in Illinois is noteworthy. And the problem is that Joe Biden, if he won't step aside, Jesse, I think we start to see more and more Hunter stories. Hunter stories get some teeth, they get some traction, they end up in the New York Times, the Washington Post, where the truth, not fabricated like the Russian situation, the truth will make it too hard for him to run again.
In fact, I'm doing another Hunter Biden story for Fox Nation.
Yes,
Harold, what I'd like to ask you is, so you've got this president who's pretty much, the whole country agrees he's a nightmare. or that the country's headed in the wrong direction, and his job is to right that direction, right the course. I mean, what do? Do you just tell him not to run? I mean, who breaks the news to him?
So they have to hope for, first of all, it's good to be with you.
Again?
They have to hope to be able to say what James Carville said in 96 when Clinton ran for re-election, when he asked the country, what do you not like, the peace or the prosperity? Right now, they don't have that. Carville came up with the best line in the first race, which was, it's the economy, stupid. This president, they need to focus on something in the middle there. If I were them, I think there's some comments have been made around the table that I largely agree with. Some I don't necessarily think the whole country dislikes him. I think that there's a big part of the country. There's no doubt Democrat and Republican, like we saw a poll where overwhelming,
60%.
At least eight out of 10 think we're on the wrong track. It's a minimum of eight. I said, you're right in that regard, Judge. If I were them, every Monday and Tuesday, I'd have the president in a city where some great crime initiative is happening, where some great education initiative is happening, and talk about ways in which we're going to not only flood the zone there, but help amplify this. Two, I'd build a wall and make it clear we have to if we're going to have a serious border policy. And as a president who goes down to the border, let that be the takeaway from his visit there. Three, reverse the Keystone Pipeline and make it clear, look, we're at a moment, we're at a crisis. We can still pursue a green energy platform, but we have to be cognizant and realistic about where the country is and the prices that people are paying for the things they need most. Clinton lost the midterms in 94. I'm not saying Democrats will, but guess what? He won re-election in 96.
Right.
Stop talking about what people are saying and complaining about what people are saying about your first 2 years and start doing. Mental acuity, physical acuity, irrelevant if you have policy acuity. That's what I would be focused on if I were in the White House.
I agree with that, Dana, but you know what?
You said it better than I did.
But Dana, the truth is that it doesn't seem the man has the initiative to engage in any of these policy discussions. I mean, already, who's got numbers lower than his, lower than Kamala's? So he can do all the things Harold's talking about, but is it going to matter?
Congress and the Supreme Court have lower, and the media have lower poll numbers than the president. Harold, what you're describing is something like the revenge of the body snatchers. None of that is going to happen. I mean, what you're just describing is something that you, but you would do. And maybe you will be running in 2024.
That would be great.
That is not happening.
Are you running in 2024?
Yes, answer it now.
Unequivocal. No.
Okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Okay. I've always thought that President Biden would use the post midterm press conference to announce he's not running again. And I put we have it in the notes that I said it'll be like between the Monday and the Wednesday after Thanksgiving, time to reflect on things, talk to his family, and get there. But at this point, the narrative is so loud that he's not running again, he might actually have to file to run for re-election before the midterms in order to stop this chatter. Or he's going to have some big political win. He doesn't have a political win going, and all the vultures are circling. The old vultures, Hillary Clinton. The new vultures, AOC. The current vultures, Kamala Harris. I just want to say one thing about that. You played that soundbite of her from CNN the other day. Just a couple of hours ago, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. The vice president wanted to put out a clarification about those comments that she made on CNN, and that this is the quote she says she should have said. The president intends to run, and if he does, I will be his ticket mate. We will run together. What she said that day was, Joe Biden is running for a re-election, and I will be his ticket mate. So I'm looking at this going, what is the difference?
Versus is.
Yeah, so so apparently there must have been some talk within the White House over the last few days going, well, how do we fix this? And the only way to fix it was for her to say, whoops.
What's broken?
I don't know.
I don't know what needs to be fixed.
But here, my question is, who tells him you can't run?
Susan Rice. She's the Obama person.
All right,
sticks
there you
the
have
knife
it
right in him.
All right, coming up, so-called bombshell January 6th testimony completely falling apart after Secret Service agents push back on key details.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explosive January 6th testimony now being called into question. Former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson giving a secondhand account of former President Trump on the day of the riot. She claims she was told that Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of his armored vehicle during an argument with Secret Service about going to the Capitol.
The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engle. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
Fox News confirming that the two agents involved are willing to testify in public to dispute that account. They say Trump did not assault them and he did not reach for the wheel. The committee taking heat over whether they had properly investigated this event.
It is just an incredibly damning and dramatic story. I would just, as a journalist and as an American, appreciate more corroboration for the story, since as of now, it is hearsay. I mean, it is somebody saying, this is what I heard.
Yeah, and of course, we're not in a court of law, and we're not charging anybody with any particular offense.
Waste our time for it.
All right, then go ahead, Judge.
Oh, boy. We're not in a court of law. You're looking to take down a president? And by the way, everyone who testified there testified under oath. Now, if the Democrats right now are into law and order and truth and justice and saving democracy, well, then anyone who lied should be prosecuted for perjury. Let's talk about this. What do you do to test whether or not someone is telling the truth? You have cross-examination. It's an age-old test that has served us well for centuries. There was no cross-examination of this woman. Number two, She talked about hearsay. Now, I talked to two sources today from the White House at that time. They both say that she was so low level, she wanted people to believe that she was in the center of the room when major things were being discussed. She was not that person. That's factually untrue. They also tell me that the Secret Service, along with the lead agency, the drivers, they are willing to come in and testify that what she said is not true. In addition to that, they say that she says, and I have a quote, "And I looked at Tony, and he said, 'Did you hear what happened in the Beast?'" She says again, "Tony proceeded to tell me when the president got in the Beast." These people tell me the president was not in the Beast. He was in an SUV. So she's lying about that. She's lying about what she said. Are you taking umbrage at this?
No. Oh. No, I was trying to remember if the president's vehicle is always called the Beast, whether it's the vehicle or
it's
the SUV.
It's an SUV. No, right. the Beast, my understanding, according to these people, is a bigger vehicle. But in addition to that, Mark Meadows never asked for a pardon, didn't intend to ask for a pardon. And the note card that she said she wrote, where they were supposed to release that statement on January 6th, was written by Eric Hirschman. Now, they all want to testify, and in fact, two of them already testified, but the producers decided that they would only air the one that is riddled with not just hearsay, but double hearsay.
Okay, what position does this put the attorney general in? Because the left's going to be mad at him if he doesn't bring a case, and the right will be mad at him if he does, and he's, I guess, they're all trying to drive towards a prosecution.
I don't know. I still don't have a strong opinion about whether the former president of the United States should be prosecuted. But I looked at this a little differently, and I happen to agree with one aspect of what you said, Judge. I think Pat Cipollone, who's the counsel, Mark Meadows, and the Secret Service agents, they should do what this young lady, who's now being called a liar by some, they should come in and get under oath and say this and answer the questions as well.
Many of them have.
No, but Pat and Mark Meadows have not. Cipollone and Mark Meadows.
Right.
And they seem
to
be at the center of this. And this is, they are now answering, responding to her. Now, you know, interestingly, I have not heard them respond to whether or not the president wanted to bring more people into that area where he was speaking on January 6th, even though the Secret Service said no because they have not gone through the metal detector yet. There are a lot of things that she said. And I have to tell you, just from standing back, this first-generation college graduate, I had no idea who this woman was. I thought she was pretty compelling. She was pretty interesting, and she sounded as if she thought she was telling the truth, and she put her hand up to say, I'm telling the truth. Now, if we don't believe she's telling the truth, Judge, as you say, in a courtroom, you call other witnesses. Now, this is not a courtroom, but you call other witnesses, and if those witnesses want to dispute her, they should come before that committee, because I know if she said that I wanted a pardon and I didn't, I'd drive over there today and say, like, guys, let's call them back in. I'll put my hand up out here outside the Capitol. I never asked for a pardon. I never asked the president. I always told the president not to do this, and I have no idea what she's talking about, that the president grabbed onto his student. There was some explosive testimony here. So I hope everything that you said comes true and that these people come and testify.
You're talking about corroboration. That is one way to test the truth. The other way is cross-examination. They had none of
that. But this is not a courtroom, though, Judge, so they didn't have that obligation.
They're looking to go after a president.
Brian.
I get it. They should come before the committee.
Mark Meadows just came out and said he never asked for a pardon. The Secret Service agent says it's never happened. They never lunged at me, didn't assault me, didn't lunge at me. She also said he threw a plate in the lunchroom. I don't know how much that matters. He was very angry about the election. I just think in the big picture, what do they want to get at? What was the president doing during the time when after the rally ended and after the Capitol was breached? I mean, what's the goal here? Did she come off credible? Yes. Did she go out and talk about a lot of hearsay over and over again? Very coherent. Like you said, good presentation. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem like she was out of her depth at all. When you're an assistant, a lot of times you have access to a lot of people, even though your job isn't necessarily as important. You got to be there every step of the way into some important meetings. So I just think, number one, the committee is under its greatest pressure right now to answer the Secret Service's request to go back under oath and bring them forward. They lose all credibility if they take the Secret Service behind closed doors and don't let these other people come forward and defend themselves, because they say that they're fair and they're getting all sides, and Republicans chose to be out of it. Secret Service wants to go ahead and correct the record. Now they have to.
Yeah. Jesse.
I disagree.
The Secret Service
said that the committee never reached out to him to check whether this was true or not.
Right.
The committee knows what she said during the deposition. They knew what she was going to say at the hearing.
They rolled clips.
But they never said, hey, guys, did this ever happen? So that tells me the committee is not interested in what really happened. They're not interested in the truth. They're just interested in dirtying up Donald Trump and trying to tee up an indictment. Some of her testimony may be compelling, but now her credibility is totally shot. And you can't believe a word she says right now about anything. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe the committee shouldn't put her up there to answer that question. Well, you know what? They don't care, because this thing's been debunked. 1% of the country knows that. Everybody that's watched it yesterday, they don't know it's been debunked. They have no idea. It's like the P-tape. You put it out there. Hey, could be wrong, could be right. It's probably wrong. Just gossip. But it's out there, and it coasts along, and it's very, very damaging. And if you put up this Secret Service agent who says, this girl's lying, I never said that, he's got 20 years in the Secret Service. Guy's got a ton of integrity. She's fresh out of college. Who do you believe? He has a lot to lose by lying. She has everything to gain by lying. Look at her. She's the new It Girl, right? She's going to get a job offer at CNN. She's going to be a contributor. She'll probably get a book deal. And she'll waltz around at every party in Washington, go to Cafe Milano, never have to pay for another drink. So I'm suspicious of her.
All right. Ahead, members of the squad and the media pushing more radical changes to the Supreme Court over its abortion ruling.
I bought a bar just down the street. I light the smokes, I tell the jokes, I call the shots, I pour the drinks, and I hire the band. I sweep the floor.
All right, Democrats and the media continuing to melt down of the Supreme Court's abortion ruling that let states decide how to handle the issue of abortion. Members of the squad leading the way in pushing radical ideas and how to respond. Let's listen together.
The Supreme Court has engaged in the overreaching of its authority in denying the human and civil rights of any pregnant person. Biden should entertain expansion of the Supreme Court. He should forcefully come out in ending the filibuster.
Pregnant person, you could also substitute women if you're looking to expedite the sentence. And the media is losing touch with reality, too, claiming this is the end of democracy while trashing middle America.
It just sucks, man. It really does. I mean, you know, it's like the country, it's no longer a democracy, right? I mean, it's no longer majority rule.
No, certainly not right? In the Senate, certainly not in the representation on the Supreme Court.
The problem is that middle stuff. It's those states in the middle, that red stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they get to tell us what to do when the majority of us live out, you know, New York, California, and we're paying for all this crap, really.
Wow.
All right. It's the middle stuff, the red stuff. For more on that, let's go to Jesse. Jesse, is she making a lot of sense?
The middle stuff puts the food on the table that she's paying for at dinner. They probably put the gas in the car that she's driving to dinner.
There'll be no Fox News without the middle stuff.
I mean, everything in this country works because of the middle stuff. I want to talk about what the squad said, that there's going to be a woman strike.
Yeah, you're worried about that?
I'm a little worried about that.
Right.
Yeah, of course you are.
I'm watching Wheel of Fortune. Who's going to turn over the letters?
Great point. That's
what, is Pat going to have to walk over and turn over the letters?
Do you know how much Vanna White makes?
She probably makes six times as much as I do.
And it does.
Right. No, think about the repercussions here, Brian. Our EP at the Five is a woman. What, she's not going to show up to work? We're left to our own devices? We're going to go from first to fifth like that. The FBI agents that are women, how are they going to infiltrate Jane's Revenge? We're going to have male guys put wigs on and makeup and have to go. Is this going to happen at home, too?
Well,
who's going to mess with the thermostat? Who's going to tell me that my clothes clash before I leave? Are they not going to do everything, Brian?
I think
we're underestimating how serious this is.
I cannot
they have us right where they want us.
I'm glad you're not under.
It's like kryptonite.
For more stereotypes, let's go to Dana.
By the way, this was done in 1975. 90% of women in Iceland participated, shutting down the country.
See?
And okay. Who noticed? And no one noticed?
Greenland?
In Iceland? I'm like, yeah, Greenland, maybe. I don't know. I think that the middle stuff is super offensive, and it's exactly the same type of thing of what Hillary Clinton said in terms of deplorables.
Yep.
It's the same language. And they do believe it. Then they always have to have these really thoughtful discussions about why did we lose another election? Yeah. And this is why. The other reason that you have the middle stuff is so that you can win World War II.
Yeah.
Great point. Judge, the middle stuff, if you look at this, they say we don't have a democracy, we don't have majority rule. You have the Senate, you have the White House, look, you have the House, you have majority rule, and the Supreme Court. Does she even know how government works?
These people have no idea what's going on, and that's why I had my head in my hands. AOC says the Supreme Court engaged in an overreach of its authority. Does she have any idea what the Supreme Court's job is in terms of the Constitution? Does the last woman, she says we're no longer majority rule. By the way, the Supreme Court doesn't make decisions based upon majority rule. The way they want to pack the court, they'll make it another legislative branch. And what makes them think they're the majority, by the way?
Right.
What makes them believe that?
She goes, why do they get to tell us how to live in New York and California? Harold, I think you have a unique point of view because you're from Tennessee. You got Republicans and Democrats living together. You're doing the impossible. Like, so what do you think about this mindset that you just...
So I live in New York now, but Tennessee is home. You know, I don't agree with that characterization. I think that I understand where some of her, I believe I understand where some of the frustration and angst is coming from when you think about we could very well go back to 50 years ago as relates to choice and freedoms that women have enjoyed. I think as a country, we're always looking for it. I don't remember a time when the court actually took rights away from people the way that this case has been done. I agree with you, Judge, that I think the Congresswoman from Queens has it wrong in saying that they don't have this authority. They do have this authority, and the question is, what can you do politically to try to redress it? I do think what we all have to step back and ponder is the world we want to live in when it comes to the kind of expectation of privacy for people, particularly as it relates to choice for women in their bodies and whether or not abortions. Is it 15 to 20 weeks? Is this something the country wants? And we should all speak up about that.
And pass the law.
And our courts should understand that. I said on this show 2 days ago, the contraceptive, gay rights, other expectations of privacy that people have that I think Justice Thomas contemplated in his decision. I think that is a real and honest and serious and, for that matter, robust discussion we need to have as a country about whether we want that or not. And I know as one vote, I don't. I want 15 to 20 weeks, and I think we ought to have an expectation of privacy conversation.
How do you feel about Connecticut, New York, and California saying, hey, come to us for an abortion, as if
well,
it's
their new
theme
song. Well, that's what I was going to say. Wanda, does she not realize that what this happens? That nothing changes in California and New York except that those taxpayers in those states are now going to be a part of the abortion tourism trade that is going to take place.
Unless you want to put a pup tent in Yellowstone Park, this way they on federal land, that's another one of their ideas in order to have an abortion in a state that doesn't allow it. If they do it on a federal land, they're going to think about doing that. Interesting times. 26 minutes now before the top of the hour, straight ahead. The left apparently doesn't care about the crime surge. Defunding the police insanity, hitting West Hollywood. Don't move. So I can see you in a new light.
Having fun, got money for me. Cause I paid the cost to be the boss.
Liberals once again making it easier for the bad guys to rule the streets. In California, where smash and grab scenes are normal and career criminals are aided and abetted by radical DAs, West Hollywood has voted to defund the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, despite a staggering 137% increase in crime there. The money being saved will be used to fund 30 unarmed security ambassadors and a Russian arts festival. Brian Kilmeade, you can't defund in the spring of 2022. I mean, this has been a long time since we
it's
figured that out.
No, but they say that I love this statement, too, from this Lindsay Harvarth. She says prioritizing people's safety doesn't mean people with badges and guns on the street. We have to find another way to keep our residents safe. So they're not giving up keeping them safe. But how many times have we sat around this table and said, who's going to fund the Russian art? And we always come up nothing. And finally, West Hollywood takes action, and you guys are condemning of it. $15,000 adds to the $50,000. So finally, we find out what Russians want to paint.
Dana, yeah,
I can't follow that.
I don't know. I don't know how you follow that, but an unarmed ambassador?
Yeah,
what are they going to do in West Hollywood?
That's like saying that I'm going to go out and protect people. Like, right. What if I was an unarmed ambassador? Like, charm them?
Yeah.
Like tap them on the knee.
Excuse me, sir.
I can't reach.
Take your hands off her throat.
I noticed that the mayor voted against it, as did somebody else. But the mayor is responsible for the city, so now I'm sure she's like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Because I don't know. Part of me feels like, okay, fine, knock yourselves out. I don't care. Why should we care? Like, if you guys want to vote against these things, then okay, knock yourselves out. But we want to support the police and fund the police.
They lose four deputies.
Four deputies.
They got within 2 months.
A lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of manpower.
Should we care if we're never going to West Hollywood? I mean, they are Americans there.
Of course they are. And we live in a democracy. If they choose to defund the police, they have every right to. But it's going to be hard to take them seriously when they complain about crime rising, and for that matter, God forbid, something terrible happening in their community. Look, the judge said this at the outset. We talk about this. This is so 2020.
What are they doing now? Judge, what do you think the chances are that someone in the city council who voted to defund is the victim of a crime in about a week and a half?
Good to excellent. Okay, but let me tell you this. Do you remember there were two cops who were shot in New York City? They responded to a domestic dispute. They were ambushed, okay? Now, they've got these unarmed social service, whatever the heck they're called. I mean, they're going to keep the peace? Are you kidding me? You're going to wait until someone gets seriously injured or somebody gets killed in one of those roles. It's not meant for anyone other than a cop with a gun to respond to some of these crazy things. And we've got cops, a mass exodus from New York City and all over the country, DAs, everybody's leaving. I mean, and you know what? You're right when you say if they want to defund, they have that right. There's something inside of me that's screaming, no, they don't have that right, but they do. But for me, they have an obligation when they took an oath to protect the citizenry, to protect the oath of office, which is the first order of government, which is to protect the citizens. They're not doing it. They're playing games.
And they should be unelected. I agree with you, Judge. My only point.
Yeah, but it's not soon enough. How many people have died? Okay, I'm done.
You're not even going to be able to see the Russian art because it's going to be too dangerous at the gallery.
It's going to be crazy. But they have voted to keep the bars open to 4 a.m.
Yeah,
I'm serious. Did you see that?
Oh, that's good. Send the social workers.
They said that'll
help
because all good things happen between 2 and 4 a.m.
Yes, exactly. My dad always said.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to be on record. I like cops with guns when I go.
Yes.
All right, good. I like a good ambassador to give me back my Rolex.
Did you have one stolen?
What a brag. Humble brag.
No.
Give me back my Rolex.
Why did you say that?
Oh, I'm just saying with the smashing grabs, they go into high-end places, they smash them, they have the ambassador
Rolex?
Show up.
All right.
And take
if anybody has seen Brian's Rolex, please contact us immediately.
Thank you.
Yeah, contact
up next,
me.
He's late to every show also. Up next, super potent weed you can buy illegally is sending teens to the hospital.
Right.
Get yourself together and drive your funky soul. They're doing it down in that soul. Drive that funky soul. They're doing it by the beach. Driving that funky soul. New York.
It's not just a deadly fentanyl poisoning that parents need to worry about. We're now learning how super potent marijuana is putting teens in the hospital and causing some serious mental health issues. The New York Times reporting how cases of psychosis, addiction, and chronic vomiting are impacting kids. The issue is consuming exploding levels of marijuana's active ingredient, THC. The average concentration of THC in pot was at 4% back in 1995. Today, the level reaches 95%. In some products. Dana, you know, you and I have a history of not ever having done this before.
Yeah.
As you look at these numbers, whether you've done it or not, you can't go from 4% to 95% and not expect these products.
Well, I think the thing I'm confused about is that this is happening where it's been legalized, and so now you have it at the shops, and so I assume that then you could have the dosing that would make it so that people aren't taking too much and then getting sick. The stories that you read about in the study, and that was in, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, there's a young girl, and she starts doing experimenting, and then all of a sudden she starts getting sick and sick, and the parents can't figure out what's going on. Finally, when she's taken to the hospital, a doctor says, oh, you have this THC, I can't remember the exact point, some sort of gastroenteritis because of too much THC. And the parents are like, wait, what's going on? So then they tried counselors, and they tried addiction centers, they tried all of these things to try to help her get off of it, and they really feared losing their daughter. So it's not like the fentanyl issue where one pill can kill. But this also can have serious consequences.
Brian?
You get addicted to THC. I've always heard that. In the beginning, they talked about THC. If you want a pot, you can't get addicted to it. No doubt about it, it's a gateway drug. I don't care what the stats say. Have you ever noticed friends of yours that start smoking pot and think, they're making more sense? No. It wipes out their ambition. It wipes out their ambition. It wipes down their drive. And now we see with this potency up to 17%, with 35% of seniors and 44% of college students trying it, and they say kids with brains are informed, especially susceptible to a lifetime of psychosis, but we've made it acceptable, like gambling in society. These are two evolutions that are done purely for financial gain to help states. And now I think they're two terrible things. We're going to regret mainstreaming gambling, and we're going to regret mainstreaming marijuana use.
I think Brian makes some good points. Judge, how do you feel about this?
Well, as one who's never tried it either, I mean, given my career and what I've done, I believe it's a gateway drug. There are people who will laugh at us for saying that. I also believe that it is a kind of thing that really does beat you up mentally. I just think that the people who use it tend to use it, regularly, frequently, every day. Then they go, now that it's legal, they go to work using it. They can't drive as well. I mean, they're not as focused as they usually are. I mean, it's very dangerous, and people think it's this innocuous, no big deal drug. Yeah, it cools you down, but at the same time, it can be just as lethal if you get behind the wheel of a car, or if you're on an assembly line somewhere, or if you say, hell, you know, I'll try coke now, maybe heroin next time.
Does this argue against legalization across the board?
I don't know, Harold. Don't do drugs, kids. But if you do drugs, just take one hit and chill for a second. You don't just keep passing it around and around and around and around. Take a hit, sit back on it, and wait. Don't do drugs at all. That's what I'm saying.
We need
but
to
if you it. Do it,
we'll end it there.
Do it that way.
One more
but don't
thing.
Do it.
End it.
Right.
You finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
One more
don't
thing.
Do drugs.
One more thing.
Very unique advice.
Time now for one more thing, Dana.
All right. Well, we had some sad news today. You will probably recognize this person, Woody Williams. There he is, right there. He passed away this morning at the age of 98. Woody was America's last surviving World War II veteran to have received a Medal of Honor for the heroism he displayed during the Battle of Iwo Jima in 1945.
Wow.
Certainly rest in peace to a true American hero. Also, this month, Vietnam War veteran Greg Hansen is marking the 50th anniversary of when his plane was shot down during a combat mission over North Vietnam. The F-4 pilot spent 9 months as a prisoner of war, but he still calls June 13th his lucky day because he survived. I had a chance to meet him last year. Congratulations to him on all those great years you have spent since, and thank you all.
Great stuff. All right, it's my turn now. This is every guy's nightmare, and I want you guys to listen up. Okay, so take a look at this fairy tale proposal. A man bungles a lakeside proposal as a $1,000 ring pops out of the box and falls into the water. Oh. Now listen, listen.
Oh,
come on.
Okay, so he was proposing to the love of his life when the diamond ring fell out of the box and in between the gaps in the deck. Friends in swimming goggles scoured the lake for the $1,200 ring, but had no luck despite the horror. Ross improvised by proposing with the promised ring his girlfriend was already wearing. The next day, the poor guy had to go out and buy another ring.
Oh, my.
And he recreated the entire scene, but hopefully put down a rug. So you should all learn something from that. All right. Well, we should get him like a website, and he could buy a bigger ring so it won't fall through the cracks. Jesse,
or
it.
Dredge the lake.
Yeah.
All right, I want to do something differently than I usually do. Instead of celebrating myself, I want to celebrate everybody here at the table because the Five set a ratings record.
We did.
We became the first non-primetime show to win three consecutive quarters. Number one, three straight quarters. Congratulations to everybody here at the table. Great job. Also tonight, 7 o'clock, primetime, the truth behind Pelosi's visit to the Vatican. Of course, she had to bring Pauly P. He definitely had to confess a few things. We'll tell you what went down with the Pope.
All right, Harold.
Pauly P.
Pauly P. That's what they call him.
A little lighter note here. Zeus the dog knows how to get frisbee time while mowing. This clever dog isn't giving up on playtime, even if his owner is busy with yard work. Zeus the dog has learned if he drops his frisbee in front of his owner mowing, he has to throw it for him. Watch as Zeus continuously drops his toy in a direct path into more, prompting the owner to pause his mowing and play along.
I don't think he throws the frisbee far enough for him.
No, that was a weak throw.
It's a unique throwing style, but
look at him. That's adorable.
It's not a toss.
Great job, Zeus.
All right, Brian, that's it.
All right, what made America great? We got a brand new season. I think this is the ninth season. We got the history of Hollywood, the history of oil, how it's done. Why we're the best when it comes to law enforcement, how we started. Thank you, Teddy Roosevelt, and so many more. Pat Ryder over in Nassau County. And the history of cars. I think you guys will love it. It drops tomorrow. Also on One Nation on Saturday night. I had a chance to go to the Michael Murphy opening of the Navy SEAL Museum. It's pretty amazing in West Sayville. Of course, the Navy SEALs know how to do it. They know how to open it. It's the who's who of military men that serve. And this museum is one you have to go visit out in West Sayville, Long Island. We're going to have a special feature on that on One Nation, 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay. Anybody else want to
add anything? The history of oil.
Yeah,
we
the
did
history
it.
Of
it was
cars.
Idea. Thank you, Pennsylvania. That's where it started.
What's your favorite car?
Thank you, Pennsylvania.
All right, that's it for us. Special report is up next. Hey, Brett, what's your favorite car?
Judge.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.